This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Let's go to the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline now. Welcome in one of the best in the business, Tony Barnhart at Mr. CFB. You can follow him on Twitter. Tony, we have been talking college football blue bloods for a large portion of today's show. We feel comfortable at six. We have some people who believe that the list should be eight. I'm not exactly sure where you would sort of draw the line at your cutoff, but when I say college football blue bloods, what teams do you feel like are automatically on that list no matter what?
Oh, Alabama and Ohio State for sure. Okay. Clemson has played its way into that status. Notre Dame is going to be that status as long as they're winning 10 or 11 games. Who else you got on your list?
We've got USC, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And Texas.
Yeah. Those. And again, what people have to do when you put together a list like that, you cannot be a prisoner of the moment. Okay. You got to go back and look at the tradition, look at how long they've been competitive. So that's why schools like Texas are in there, even though they haven't of late, they haven't played like a blue blood of late. They are one.
But it does sound like, because we brought into the conversation, Tony, Michigan, Miami, Florida State, Florida, whether you were a late starter or whether you were great and then kind of hadn't been around for a while, like a Nebraska, it kind of feels like you would sort of have a sliding scale. Like you feel like teams can come off and on your list of blue bloods if you were having maybe say annually.
Sure, I'd agree with that. And Nebraska is a great example. Okay, obviously Nebraska has gone a long stretch without being relevant for the national championship. But when you go back to the 70s and the 80s and the 90s when they won three national championships in 4 years, you have to. It wouldn't take that long for Nebraska to be back. These are to me, a blue blood is a program that may not be one now, but history says that they are, and I think you have to factor those in.
Tony Barnhart at Mr. CFB on Twitter, joining us here on Three Man Front on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. So if we took this blue blood conversation to the SEC, something in a league you know and have covered for many, many years, who would those blue bloods be? I mean, could Tennessee be in the conversation, or a team like LSU that has won some national championships, the most recent 2019, but also in the modern poll era going back to 1958. Where do some of the teams in the SEC fall for you pertaining to that?
Well, I think the list is pretty long in the SEC because most of those schools, I mean, to me, with the SEC, you start with the six programs, Alabama, Auburn, LSU on one side, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee on the other. Then now to that list, you've got to add Texas A&M. Because of their tradition. They haven't won a national championship, but they deserve to be in that conversation, given everything they bring to the table. But, yeah, I think that's where you start with the SEC. Because when the SEC went to divisional play in 1992, everybody thought it was based on geography. It really wasn't. It was based on those six traditional programs, and they wanted to make sure that I mentioned, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee on one side, LSU, Alabama, Auburn on the other. They wanted to make sure those six programs were in two different divisions, and that had more to do with it than geography.
All right, so Tony, I know some folks, when we're talking about this 12-team playoff that now is going to go into summer session, summer review, I feel like they're just making up ways to meet there in Grapevine and spend more time at that resort, but the SEC and Greg Sankey have stated that they were much more on board with 12 than 8. I think a lot of college football fans would probably be surprised to hear that. Could you explain to us why Greg Sankey and the SEC maybe wanted to push this to 12 if it were to be expanded?
Absolutely. Eight did not work for the SEC, and here's why. What you would have had, well, let's go back to the beginning. Under the current system, there are four teams that are invited to the college football playoff that are picked. None of those are automatic bids. Nobody gets an automatic bid to the current system. And the SEC said, the current system has worked pretty good for us. But when you go to eight, there were going to be certain commitments that were going to have to be made. You were going to have to do something about the conference champions, all right? Either automatic bids to the Power Five or what they came up with there. So let's just say it's five to the automatic bids, all right? Now, all of a sudden, you got to do something about the group of five. Then Notre Dame, that's six. Then Notre Dame gets in, that's seven if they get in. Now you're looking around, you've only got one at-large opportunity to choose from. So the SEC crunched the numbers and said, no, this is we're better off staying at four for us. And so, and Commissioner Sankey, in a conference call we had when it was announced originally, he said eight simply did not resonate with him. That's translation. That did not give my conference enough opportunities. And so it was either for the SEC, it was either stay at four or go to 12.
Tony, as far as these first round games that we get, I mean, we're still going to have lopsided matchups. We've seen that in the college football playoff, but it just seems like, you know, people saying, well, you know, now you have 12 teams that can make a run. When ideally in college football, unlike maybe college baseball or college basketball, there's still legitimately, and I want to get your opinion, maybe you don't feel the same way, three or four teams that we believe could win a national championship.
Yeah, and what I've told friends who ask that question is that you can't be results oriented. This whole thing is about expanding opportunity, creating a product that is hopefully better than the one we have now. The one we have now is pretty good, but the idea was we're going to have we have blowouts now with four teams. So that can't be the focus. The focus is, do you have enough opportunity for all the people involved? I thought the way that it was crafted to give an opportunity to the group of five, I thought that was good. I thought the fact that they didn't guarantee anybody other than the top six conference champions, top six rated conference champions get bids into the playoff, but they didn't give automatics to the Power Five. I thought that was a well-crafted way to do it. So, yeah, if people say we're going to get more blowouts, yeah, we are. But you know what? Everybody knew that, and that's not what this is about. This is about providing opportunity.
How do you feel if we do get to 12, and I think we all agree that it looks like we're heading that direction, that will happen soon, and Tony Barnhart at Mr. CFB via Twitter joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Will that impact the regular season, in your opinion, as far as amount of games played?
What's going to be interesting to see, if you look at the schedules in the SEC, the non-conference schedule, everybody's got some really good intersectional matchups there. And what this does, I mean, the whole thing, guys, was that, you know, the athletic directors went to their coaches and said, hey, we've got to start scheduling a better non-conference game. Holders are giving me a lot of grief. And the coaches said, well, we'll do that, but what you got to do is you've got to expand the playoff to give us more opportunity. I think there will be more and more good intersectional games because now, if you're in the SEC, you can get to the playoffs with two losses. You can lose a non-conference game and lose one in conference. So I think overall, it's going to make more games relevant in November than ever before.
So Tony, if you're to that point playing nine conference games, if you're the Pac-12, do you go and get on equal footing with some of the other conferences that play the eight-game conference schedule and reduce your game? Would that behoove them, or is it more beneficial for the Pac-12 to play the nine?
But here's the problem with the Pac-12. And I heard Rick Neuheisel say this yesterday on the radio on his show. From a purely competitive standpoint, the Pac-12 would be much better off going back to eight games and doing good intersectional games and probably doing away with divisions. The nine game conference schedule was put into place just to give them better inventory for their television partners. But if your goal is to get to the college football playoff, I think it's a better idea to play eight conference games. That's why I don't see the SEC playing nine conference games. It's too cumbersome, you know, because you got some teams have five at home and four on the road, and some have just the opposite. And the SEC fans could not wrap their arms around that. So I think the next big question, guys, is about divisional play. I think that's the next big question. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the ACC does away with divisional play like they did last year. But would the SEC consider that? I've been trying to get with Commissioner Sankey on that very question. I don't know the answer. The answer is probably no to eliminating divisional play, but it's a question that's going to have to be asked.
Let's stick with divisional play, Tony. I think we all believe that there's a pretty big gap between Alabama and Georgia as it pertains to the rest of their divisions. If you were to see one of those two teams unseeded this year and not end up in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, which of those two teams would it be, and who do you believe can prevent that from happening?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's in the SEC, it's Alabama and Georgia from sheer talent standpoint. Other teams have talent, but they've got holes here and there. I'm sticking with Alabama until somebody beats them. Okay, I've seen too much good coming out of Tuscaloosa, but Georgia is the kind of team that can beat Alabama in terms of quarterback play, skill positions, depth, which is extremely important when you get to November. So, yeah, right now I'm picking Alabama to play Georgia in the SEC championship game, and I've got Alabama winning the SEC. As far as a team that could unseat them, I still think Texas A&M is going to be a very good team. I'm not sold on LSU yet, though I've got friends telling me they're going to bounce back. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. In the East, there are good teams, but the gap between Georgia and everybody else in the East is pretty big.
So you just mentioned Texas A&M. Over the next 5 years, we just assume that Dan Mullen, he just got the new contract. We know what Jimbo Fisher has there at College Station. Where do you see those two programs in the next 5 years? Which one do you think, you know, ascends higher, so to speak, when it comes to results, championships, college football playoffs?
Well, Texas A&M is they've got vast resources. They've got their facilities. I've toured their facilities two or three times. Absolutely magnificent. And I just think if they get good quarterback play, they're going to be always in the mix. But Florida's Florida, okay? I mean, Florida is Florida. And I think this will be a little bit of a bumpy year for the Gators. But on balance, I mean, Florida's always going to be good. And I think Dan Mullen is a very, very good coach, particularly when it comes to working with quarterbacks. But this year, there's some real-life things they got to do, which is to make Emory Jones an every-down quarterback and to figure out what the heck's wrong with the defense.
All right, Tony, whether or not you would have this team as one of your official college football blue bloods or not is beside the point here. We know Alabama is. Who would the next SEC team in line be if we were ranking college football blue bloods?
Oh, golly. I think, LSU's, you look at the teams that have won a national championship. I think you have to go with them. It's Georgia has played like a blue blood, but it hasn't won a championship. So I think after that, I'd probably go with LSU and Auburn. They've won national championships in recent history. Georgia, if you're going to make a blue blood list, I think you have to include Georgia. But if you're asking me who's next after Alabama, right now it's got to be LSU and Auburn because they've won national championships.
Yeah, one of the interesting discussions we had, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, where would Tennessee fall for you just in that entire discussion?
Great program that struggled, obviously, since Philip Fulmer left after the 2008 season, but it's all there. I mean, all the elements are there. But Tennessee is a unique job in that the recruiting challenge. You got to get on the plane and go someplace, and that's what Philip Fulmer and his staff did. So they deserve to be in the discussion, but they're not there now.
Well, and to that point, and we're going to go outside of the SEC, but a team like Michigan, we know where they are all time wins in college football, and going back to the 1800s. They have two modern era national championships. So, I mean, you check that box, but do we just have an over fascination with Michigan football and considering them maybe on that blue blood list?
Well, the thing about it is because of their tradition, because of what they've been able to do consistently, they've had runs where they had, you know, like they're in a run now where they can't beat Ohio State. But you know what? Nobody's beating Ohio State much these days. So I think you have to consider Michigan. It's just that they it's just that lately they haven't been playing up to that level. But it's certainly a blue blood program over the course of history. You know, a lot of this, guys, to me, it depends on are we talking present day or are we talking over the course of the last 50 to 70, since World War II, okay? Is that what you go into place? Because Michigan's been a consistent power since World War II, but they are going through a difficult stretch now.
Tony, great stuff. We always appreciate your time. Good catching up with you. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Tony Barnhart at Mr. CFB on Twitter, one of the best in the business as far as it comes to college football knowledge and know-how. He joined us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline, zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple today.